The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Breakfast with Jesus. What Christian wouldn't rejoice to have that opportunity? To eat with Jesus, to learn from him, to soak in and absorb everything he has to say. Can you imagine how wonderful it would be to have Jesus there across the campfire from you, or at the table with you, to see him in the flesh, to see the nail marks in his hands, testimony to his enormous love for you, the price he paid to save you from death and sin, to see those precious nail marks in his hands as he reaches out to pass you your meal. Breakfast with Jesus, an opportunity to be strengthened in the faith, to be equipped for godly living, to receive gifts from him in a personal and individual way. Of course, there could be a problem. Peter expressed it in this way immediately after the miraculous catch some years prior to our text. Depart from me, he said. Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. To be a sinner, one who has often failed in the duty to love, one who has put self before God in thought and then in action too, is no small thing. We know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge his people. The holy writer is quite correct. For a sinner, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The prophet Nahum put it this way: "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. But with an overflowing flood, he will make a complete end of the adversaries and will put his enemies into darkness." To have sinned, to have thus rebelled against the Lord, is to deserve his righteous wrath. And for you and for me, sin isn't just a one-time thing. It's something you and I have done again and again and again, day after day. Any self-aware sinner who comes face to face with the holy God cannot help but echo the prophet Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Yet this Jesus who hosted his disciples at breakfast on the lakeshore is the very one who greeted them in Jerusalem behind locked doors saying, "Peace be with you." Following his resurrection, Jesus addressed these precious words of forgiveness to his unfaithful disciples, not once, not twice, but three times. "Peace be with you," he said, when he came to them in that locked room, absolving them of their sin, claiming them as still his own, commissioning them to go in his name, even as he had come in his Father's name. Breakfast with Jesus is breakfast with the holy and mighty God. But it is also breakfast with the merciful and gracious Savior who died for the ungodly, who died for us while we were still sinners. Breakfast with Jesus beside the Sea of Tiberias came after a miraculous catch of fish. Why it happened in those circumstances, why the disciples were out in the boat that morning fishing in the first place, is a bit of a mystery. And yet on Easter morning, the women had been instructed by the angels to tell Jesus' disciples that they would see him in Galilee. And now, see him they did. Although we can only guess why the disciples had decided to go fishing, there's no need to guess what Jesus was about in this account. Three times in our text, the evangelist explains that Jesus' purpose was to reveal himself to his disciples. He wanted them to see him alive again. He wanted to reassure them that he had truly risen. He wanted them to know without any doubt his mercy and his grace. He wanted them to be fully equipped to go out in his name and with his authority to forgive sinners. And apparently, he wanted to publicly reinstate and commission Peter after his threefold denial, so that Peter, and perhaps the other disciples as well, would be certain that Peter was fully and freely forgiven. After this breakfast with Jesus and the conversation that followed it, There could be no doubt that Peter was the Lord's man, an under-shepherd of the Good Shepherd, a forgiven sinner, thrice called and commissioned to bring God's precious word to his people. There are some differences in this miraculous catch from the previous one. This catch takes place as day is breaking, while the other occurred after Jesus had taught the people from the boat. The first time, the nets were breaking as they were hauled into the boat. Here, the nets do not break. Before, we heard only that the disciples had caught a large number of fish. Here, that number is noted: 153 large fish. And perhaps most significantly, where before the realization that he was in the presence of the Lord had caused Peter to beg Jesus to depart from him, here when Peter hears, "It is the Lord," he can't wait to be near him. He abandons ship, jumping into the lake to swim to Jesus, leaving it to the others to drag the net to the land. This difference underlines the reality of forgiveness and the change forgiveness makes. Simon Peter was no less a sinner than he had been earlier. In some ways, perhaps he was even more aware of his sin. But now he also knew that he was forgiven. In Jesus, crucified and risen, Peter had been freed from sin. God's wrath had been poured out on his Son, and so Peter could take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, could seek his grace for the sake of Christ, could come to him knowing that God is merciful to sinners. Peter may have behaved impulsively in jumping into the lake, but he wasn't mistaken. Jesus welcomes sinners who repent, even those who have grievously erred. Peter had promised he would die with Jesus, and then had not only quickly abandoned him, but also sworn repeatedly that he did not know the man. Yet Jesus didn't hold Peter's sin against him. He had prayed for him that his faith might not fail, that he would repent. And now he welcomed him, a sinner, and ate with him and with the others who had all likewise left him to the hands of his enemies. Jesus had given himself into the hands of those men, had allowed his hands and his feet to be bound and nailed to the cross, had endured the wrath of God against sin as he hung there at Calvary. And he had done it all to win for them, to win for you, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Breakfast with Jesus. What Christian, that is, what repentant sinner, wouldn't rejoice to have such an opportunity to eat with Jesus, to learn from him, to soak in and absorb everything he has to say? Well, you don't need to wish for it or long for it, for he is pleased to give you this blessing. He's here this morning. He has been speaking to you this morning through his word. He is glad, too, to welcome you often to his table. There in bread and wine, according to his word also, his true body and blood, he comes to you. The meal that he shares is testament to his enormous love. Love for you, For in the supper he gives you the very price he paid to save you from sin and death. His body broken for you. His holy precious blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sin. Breakfast with Jesus. That morning on the seashore long ago, he provided his disciples a meal of bread and fish. But that meal with the risen Lord wasn't just a one-time thing. Still today, he invites you to join him as guests at his table. Indeed, week after week, he hosts a holy meal for his gathered people. In this precious meal, he unites us in fellowship with him and also with one another. At the same time, though, he also comes to you very much personally and individually, comes to forgive you your sins, comes to cleanse your guilty conscience, comes to sustain you in the faith, comes to strengthen you against temptation, comes to equip you for godly living, comes to bless you with his love, and to unite himself to you and to all of his people. It is, as we sang earlier, morning breaks, and Jesus meets us, feeds and comforts, pardons still. As his faithful friends, he greets us. And that should be no less amazing to us than it was to the disciples and to Peter that morning on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, considering how often we too have turned our backs on him to pursue our own wants and desires. Nevertheless, as his faithful friends, he greets us, partners of his work and will. All our days, on every shore, Christ is ours forevermore. Rejoice then in the love of your merciful Savior, who comes with love for you as he once came to Peter. He claims you as his very own. He saves you. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.